This is Carla Lopez, and you're listening to Rebel Music on Cultural Manifesto. Me llamo Carla Lopez, y estás escuchando a Música Rebelde, en Manifesto Cultural. Rebel Music explores the relationship between music and activism in Indiana and around the globe. Welcome to a special Halloween episode of Rebel Music. My guest is the acclaimed Mexican-Canadian writer, Silvia Moreno Garcia. Silvia has written in many styles, including fantasy, noir, and speculative fiction. But some of her best-known works are in the horror genre, including Mexican Gothic and Silver Nitrate. Activism has also been a theme in Silvia's work. Her 2021 novel, Velvet Was the Night, is set against the backdrop of the 1971 Corpus Christi massacre in Mexico City, where over 120 protesters were killed. Silvia recently visited Indianapolis to present the 2023 Marion McFadden Memorial Lecture for the Indianapolis Public Library. We spoke at the WFYI studios. Let's join our conversation. Silvia, thank you for being here today. In addition to being a best-selling, award-winning author, our public radio audience will be interested to know that you've also been a book reviewer for NPR. I think that's a pretty cool connection. We're going to talk about your work as a novelist and listen to some music that has inspired your work. From what I understand, you were born in Mexico, but you moved to Canada, where you currently live. Can you share some of your personal history with us and, you know, tell us how long you lived in Mexico?
I was born and raised in Mexico. I'm from Baja California. I'm Cachanilla. I went to Canada as a woman in her 20s to pursue my studies. And I landed in Vancouver, and I basically stayed in Vancouver ever since in British Columbia. So I've been living in the West Coast now for quite a bit, almost 2 decades.
And you're known for writing horror novels, and you also incorporate a lot of Mexican culture and history into your books. I grew up in Mexico, and I remember scary stories and folklore tales like El Chupacabras and La Llorona shaping much of my childhood. Horror is a big theme in your work. Were these tales also a part of your childhood, and did they inspire your work?
I mean, my great-grandmother would tell me stories of folklore about her childhood growing up in the countryside. So that was one source of inspiration. But the other source was the long tradition of horror fiction as we know it, which really kind of begins to emerge in the 19th century. So those were authors like Edgar Allan Poe and Bram Stoker with Dracula and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And then there were not that many Latin American authors, to be honest, that were doing that kind of work. But there was Horacio Quiroga, who had a collection of, he's called the Latin American Poe. And so there was him and then some other people that kind of pop up in mid-20th century. People like Amparo Dávila. It's not exactly horror. It's more like Shirley Jackson kind of horror. But there are elements of suspense in that narrative. So, yeah, so that's where it comes from.
Some of your best-known novels are inspired by Mexican history. For example, Velvet Was the Night is set in Mexico during the early 1970s. There was a lot of political unrest at that time, clashes between the government and student activists, including forced disappearances led by Mexican authorities. Velvet Was the Night takes place around the time of 1971 and the Corpus Christi massacre in Mexico City, where over 100 protesters were killed. Why did you choose to write about this incident, and what inspired you to write about the massacre of these student activists?
Well, the bigger incident that people mostly remember in Mexico is an incident in 1968 when a similar event occurred where students were attacked by the government. Mm-hmm. A few years later, what happened was that they created basically a paramilitary task force. They were called the Hawks, los Halcones. And so they were the ones who were doing now the policing and the beating and the torturing and the interrogating so that the government could deny involvement in it. And then in 1971, there's another incident that happens when these forces clash against student activists. And so this is a lesser known incident. And I was interested in it because El Halconazo was not as famous as the famous Tlatelolco massacre. I thought it had been kind of left behind and forgotten a little way. There was not as much attention to it, so I wanted to focus on it for that reason. And the other reason why I was interested in this time period was music.
Mm-hmm.
This is when there's going to be the emergence of modern Mexican rock music. And it is going to clash with Mexican values. So the government is actually doing a lot of censorship. It's not allowing young people to play American rock music because it says it's against, quote unquote, Mexican values. It's like foreign music. Mm. It's forbidding live venues from playing music. But still, music is going to trickle into Mexico at one point. And it's this interesting nexus in time where kind of modern Mexican rock exists and doesn't exist and is going to start forming despite a government opposition. But government opposition is going to have a vague strangling hold on music for quite a while. So if you think about groups of that time period, they're not very well known for that reason because they were very much suppressed. But their sound is very interesting because it's very experimental.
And on that topic, you also have talked about the role that music plays in your writing. You shared some Spotify playlists with me that feature music that you reference in your novels. Can you tell us more about the role that music has played in some of your other novels and your creative process?
My first novel is called Signal to Noise, and it's about a group of teenagers in Mexico City who are casting spells using music. So there's a lot of music baked into the narrative. It has to do a lot with the emotional states of the characters and also with the time period. There's a lot of stuff from the 80s, but also some previous stuff, because that's when it takes place. And so music is also a big driving force in Velvet Was a Night, because one of my two point of view characters, his code name is Elvis. He's a hawk, but that's what he calls himself. And he loves Elvis Presley, and he loves kind of like rock music and also the songs of older crooners and that kind of stuff. So I have a lot of characters who often really like music quite a bit and seem to reference it. Either it's a big plot point, like mm-hmm. in Signal to Noise and in Velvet Was a Night, or it's maybe a little bit more subtle, but it's often still there.
Yeah, and continuing on that theme, the first song that you brought to share is En Algún Lugar by Duncan Dhu, which was featured in your book Signal to Noise. Am I correct that you used this song as a theme for one of the characters in your book?
Yes, it's referenced a number of times in relation to the main character, Mercedes, and mm-hmm. it's kind of associated with her in that way. And I just really always found that song in particular to be really interesting musically, so I wanted to give it to her. And it's from the kind of 1980s when we have this explosion of what is called rock en español, rock in Spanish. There's a lot of push for creating native sounds and singers as opposed to just importing the American sounds. And so I think it's a really good example of rock en español in the 1980s.
En algún lugar de un gran país olvidaron construir un hogar donde no queme el sol y al nacer no haya que morir y en la sombra.
And the next song that you were going to listen to is I Will Possess Your Heart by Death Cab for Cutie. You told me this song was an inspiration while writing your latest novel, Silver Nitrate.
That's right.
Can you tell me more about why you chose that song?
In Silver Nitrate is really about movies. That's the big nexus, the big connecting tissue in it. It's movies. Silver Nitrate is a material in which movies used to be made. But when I was listening to stuff while I was writing, I sometimes tend to need stuff to drown out the noises of my home. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to Death Cab for Cutie on repeat, because I do that a lot because I'm obsessive compulsive. So I was like looping it and looping it. And I thought it actually, oddly enough, it musically mimicked some of the stuff that I was trying to do in the novel, which was that I wanted to have kind of a long sort of quiet introduction, and then you get into the more like action-y stuff in the book. And this song has a really long musical introduction before anybody starts to sing, which is odd in songs on the radio. You normally don't listen to songs like that. And so I thought it was actually structurally mimicking what I was doing at a literary level. So I thought that was kind of fun.
Of you and me, it's like a book elegantly bound, but in a language that you can't read just yet. You gotta spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me, and I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart.
And the next song we're going to listen to is Chet Baker's recording of the jazz standard My Funny Valentine. This song is part of a playlist that you created for a novel you're releasing next year. Tell us about that book and about this song.
Yes, that's The Seventh Veil of Salome. It will be out next year in the summer sometime. It's a book about the making of a 1950s Hollywood film, Salome, that is being shot. And so it's really about sword and sandal movies of that era. If you ever watch Cleopatra or anything where anybody has a chariot race, that's the kind of movie that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And one of the secondary characters plays jazz. So I was listening to a lot of jazz because of the time period. And I think Chet Baker's My Funny Valentine is my favorite cover of that song. It's been covered a lot of times, but I really like his voice. It's not a perfect voice, but it's a very emotive voice.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable.
And the final song that we're going to hear is part of the playlist that you created for your novel, Velvet Was the Night. The song is Lost in My World by the Mexican psychedelic band Los Dug Dugs. You feature a lot of Mexican and South American rock music in your playlist for Velvet Was the Night. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, Los Dug Dugs are this interesting band because they emerge in this period, like I said, when rock is really not yet rock in Mexico. They're toying with it. And rock really comes from the north. It's in cities like Tijuana and border towns where musicians start hearing this sound and then they bring it back to Mexico City, to the central part of Mexico. And some bands are singing in English, and that's the case of the Dug Dugs. They are not writing their lyrics in Spanish, and they're just doing it like that. And later on, they will start singing in Spanish. So those Dug Dugs have a lot of music that is not in Spanish. That seems odd, I think, to a modern audience, why anybody would be singing in English if you are a Spanish band. But I think it's part of the border culture and how things are very flexible, like a membrane in the north, and how we adapt and take things and make them their own. And actually, El Tri, which is quite famous as a Mexican, super duper Mexican band and kind of like a barrio band, at this time, they're going to start singing, and they're singing in English. And their name is actually in English of the band originally, Three Souls in My Mind, if I can remember correctly. So it's just this fascinating sound. Yeah, the Dug Dugs are going to be exploring psychedelic sounds and lots of experimental music. It's really not going to get very far because, like I said, the government repression is going to come down on everybody basically around the time this book takes place. It's going to clamp down on live acts, and there's going to be some musicians that, frankly, are going to leave the country or are going to stop singing because they would rather not have to deal with the government. But from that kind of scorching, searing force of the government attacking musicians, there are some groups that will survive. That will be El Tri, that reconfigured. It will eventually become quite famous. And some people are going to kind of want to do stuff in the future. So eventually we will get to kind of homegrown rock. But it's just it's just this period in which censorship is going to exert this terrible force. But even in the midst of it, you find these very interesting bands like the Dug Dugs that are going to just do a lot of experimenting and open the way for other people in the future.
And what about you? What's your favorite genre of music?
Probably electronic pop and weird indie rock kind of stuff.
Do you like cumbia?
No.
I love cumbia. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with us today?
No, I guess if people think that all of this sounds interesting, you should check out my books. My latest novel is called Solar Nitrate. And like I said, it's about a film and ghosts.
Yeah, Silvia, thank you so much for being here today. If our listeners want to learn more about your work, they can visit silviamoreno-garcia.com. Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
My guest this week has been the award-winning and best-selling author, Silvia Moreno Garcia. Special thanks to the Indianapolis Public Library for making this interview possible. Stay tuned to Cultural Manifesto for future editions of Rebel Music. Rebel Music is produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Carla Lopez Owens. Thank you for listening.